Type where there's pen at your head. Are you gonna blame me or have a little fist fight with the pen? Now get out! Take your bribe with you. Wait! Where did you get this?
The vampires. We get them every week.
Samson! Surely! We got these bastards. Take a look at this.
It's the investors, all right.
Hi. Welcome to Venture Bros. Meet your host, as always, Brian Dressel. With me, as always, is Graham. The question, Mason.
Oh, hello. am I like a friend of the Riddler, or is the question?
His cousin. Distant.
His punctual, yeah. Punctuation.
Cousin. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
You got it. That's the one. We also have... Nick Namor Friedman.
I'm like Aquaman, but angrier.
Come on, you know Namor.
Isn't he like Aquaman, but angrier?
There you go. Yeah. Did you just look it up, or did you actually know it?
No.
You
were
spot
twice.
On. There was a bit of a pause, so I was afraid you were like, oh, who the fuck is Namor?
Oh, the connection must have cut out, because I said it twice.
He did.
I'll have the stenographer read
good.
It back to you.
Good. Who's the stenographer? Who else is on this call?
He's a silent partner.
Go ahead and talk, Judy.
Ah.
Oh, yeah. No, wait. I'll leave what Graham said in. That was better. He is
Thank
the silent
you.
Partner.
Thank you. God damn it.
Oh, boy. Yep.
Yeah. All right. So we're leading off of the funny joke that I just made.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Ha, 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 ha. Now that all's got to stay in. That was perfect. But you did segue rather spectacularly into the episode, and then we just failed you. So, on behalf of Nick and myself, I apologize for ruining your wonderful segue, Graham.
I'm sorry.
Thank you.
I'm very
it's
sorry.
Okay. It's okay. I forgive you.
Okay, good. I feel like we're starting off from a very wholesome place today. This is good. It's good stuff.
Uh-huh.
So let's talk about the silent partners. I'm going to do the world's fastest breakdown. And by world's fastest, I mean it'll be quicker than it probably needs to be. Billy Quizboy gets abducted by the silent partners after basically running out the time on his loan. He has to go replace Monstroso's heart with the heart they take out of King Gorilla. The whole time, he's very convinced that he is going to be turned into a Dracula at the end of everything. He's not. Meanwhile, Pete White has to come to some terms about, oh, your best friend actually is Billy, you piece of shit, Pete. Fuck you, Pete. sorry, I got a little distracted there. Whew.
Yeah, that was...
Gotta calm down.
I came from a deep, dark place.
but yeah, so he goes and gets Sphinx, to help him track down the silent partners, save Billy, and Bob's your uncle. That's pretty much all of it, right?
Yep.
That does
it?
Broad,
Monstroso-like strokes.
Yeah.
Yes.
I just figured it's easier just to dive into this one. Like, we were talking a little bit before we recorded. Like, this one's so kind of complicated and all over the place. If I spent too much time trying to describe it, you'd all tune out, and rightfully so.
For sure.
So I think it's easier just to dive into this one. But let's start where we always do. Where do we sit on this one? You guys like it? Love it? Hate it? Need it? Want more of it? Want to name your first child after it? I'll keep going until you stop me.
I think this is a good episode. Like, it's funny revisiting a lot of these because I was super confused, I think, when I was watching these the first time. Like, I just didn't quite... It felt different in a not bad way, but just kind of like I'm not sure where a lot of this is going. And now knowing where a lot of it's going, I like this season a lot more than I've had in the past. So I think this episode is probably where I reached the turning point where I was like, oh, okay, I see where they're building to roughly.
Yeah, this one feels Good like call. They really... I agree with you. I really like this episode. I don't think it's their funniest episode. In fact, I think it's kind of on the other side of the spectrum of not funny. But I don't think that's necessarily a problem. Like, I think it really works because it is just a very lore-heavy episode. And it's one of those ones where they kind of allow themselves to not be the funniest show on TV. And I think that's important because it still has great moments that are very funny, but it doesn't beat you over the head with it. Like, it lets itself just tell the story it needs to tell.
Sphinx. Right. Yeah.
Graham, what do you think?
No, I agree with both of you. I like it a lot. And yeah, if we're going to, like, you know, funometer, you know, scale this one to all the other ones, yeah, it's not really going to add up. But this is very lore heavy. And I totally agree with Nick too. Like, first time going through this episode or this season, really, it's like, oh, okay, yeah, this is kind of cool. We're kind of going into like a world building type of stuff. But now, having been to the end and back, seeing those little bits and those little things that, you know, those little breadcrumbs that they've been setting up along the whole way, and seeing them now for the first time, you know, with fresh eyes, really knowing where it leads up to, is great. It's an awesome ride to be on.
Yeah, there's something about the back half of season 4 that it just doesn't really stick with me very well. Where I've seen it, I don't even know how many times, but it just doesn't hang. But for some reason, this one always did. Like, this one always just kind of stuck with me. And I think it's because it does just tell a rather good story of just Billy getting kidnapped and just getting fucked with into the point where he gets exactly what he wants. Like, that's kind of a cool thing that this show rarely does for any of its characters. All he wants is to be a certified doctor, and that's been apparent the whole time. Like, there's other things he wants, of course. He wants money, fame, riches, all that. But when it comes down to it, he just wants to be accepted as a doctor because he never got to finish college, and he gets that in this episode. He gets it a terrible way, but he does get it.
Yeah, and it does make him and us ask that, you know, some pretty difficult questions of ourselves of like, okay, so yeah, what if we had the skill and had the thing, but for, you know, for him, he just didn't have the accreditation, he didn't have the degree or whatever, and would we accept somebody of questionable dealings and questionable background if they could offer us what we've always wanted, and would we give them what they want? You know, it's a pretty deep episode.
Yeah, and there's a moment in the books when I was reading this one, and I think it's kind of an important thing to bring up, because the show doesn't show this very often. Like, when you kind of dive into it and really get obsessed with it, like the three of us have, I think it's a little more obvious, but Billy just wants to be a doctor. And I love that they have the scene in the beginning of the episode with him in the hospital where he's using a fake name. Like, he wants to be a doctor and help people so badly, he's willing to do it for free. And I think that's really cool. And I think it's a cool character trait. And it really kind of leans more into my constant thinking that Billy is the best person on the show. And I mean that as, like, the one of the very few good people.
For sure.
Absolutely.
And he's just funny, too. Like, he's just a funny character all around, as well as being a good person. It just makes every time he's around that much more enjoyable. Like, I'm very much Team Billy Quizboy.
Yeah. I mean, and one of the other things, too, is, like, what we've always talked about is this show is people just kind of failing their way into success, or, you know, life is failure of all of this other stuff. But Billy could have been, and, you know, is very successful and successfully skilled and all of that, but because of his pretty much proximity to this world and other people's failures, he gets a fucked up life.
Yeah.
If and everybody, it's not because of anything that he did, you know.
If everybody else fails their way to success, Billy succeeds his way to failure.
Yes.
Yeah.
And it's kind of tragic. Like, I honestly think like Billy just hitched his wagon to the worst people at every opportunity.
Yeah, I mean, I do think that he's also, to add to your, he's the best person on the show, I think he's easily the most unlucky as well.
Oh, yeah.
Like, almost, you know, it's just like almost every chance something terrible can happen, it ends up happening to him.
Oh, yeah, and usually specifically absolutely to him.
Yes.
Which is, I mean, from an outside perspective, very funny. I enjoy it a lot, but I do feel bad for him every time.
Totally.
Yeah, and it's usually Pete or Rusty's fault.
Although this episode does take a turn for the far more enjoyable of having it be Shoreleaf's fault. In one of my favorite sight gags ever, and just the explanation immediately afterwards, because, like, when it happens, if you don't know what I'm talking about, you will in a moment. When it happens, Chewie just goes, "Did he just jizz out of his hand?" And it's like, "No, no, no, it'll explain it in a second." And then the second they do, I'm like, "Ah, I love Shore Leave." He is the best.
I mean, at least he owns up to it. Just
oh yeah,
not to Billy.
Yeah, definitely not to Billy. Now, yeah. This was the episode going more about Shore Leave. This is the episode where we have the all of the Sphinx shouting out their truths, right?
Yes.
Yes.
Oh my god, I love that sequence so much.
It's great.
Especially just the
Real
Brock.
Name have no secrets.
Just the Brock going, "I one time masturbated 12 times in one day just to see if I could." Oh, bro.
Which was, I think the one that was right before it was, "I ran over a dog, and when the owner came out, I said, I found him like this." So Brock's secrets are not that bad.
Well, not
yeah,
compared
to Harrison
that guy.
To everybody else's. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, Hunter's right, wasn't right, bad brag. Either. Hunter's was just...
No, Hunter's was like...
You're just honest.
Yeah, kind of yeah. sad.
Same thing with the guy who had the dream about Henry Rollins.
I'm not even gay.
Not bad.
Straight as an arrow.
Why Henry Rollins of all people?
Right? What a weird one.
I don't know.
This is also
intense
the
eyebrows.
This episode also introduces a character that I've been hinting at this whole time, and Graham for some reason just can't fucking remember that he's a person. Robobo.
Yeah.
I've brought him up so many times throughout this show, and you always go, "Who?" I'm like, "Robobo. Don't you love Robobo?"
I will gladly forget about him or it for the rest of time.
But if you forget about him, then you don't hear Brock's question of, "Why does he walk like he's got to take a dump?" As soon
he
as
really
he says
does.
It, you just can't unsee it. Oh, I love Robobo.
I don't know why. I just Robobo just makes me so uncomfortable.
Yeah, that's the point. He's great. If I could buy you a Robobo, I would do it tomorrow. Can you just imagine opening your door, Master Graham? I am here. And he just kind of clunks his way into the room, and then does the horn thing, you know, the horn thing.
All right, that was kind of funny. I'll give you that. Get to the conjecture cycle.
And then a hard cut, just a commercial.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Robobo's a good gag. I'm glad they don't overuse it, but it is a good gag.
Yes, absolutely.
It also just feeds into one of the common things, which is that Pete White is clearly terrible with money.
Yeah, but
absolutely. He's a terrible human being as it is, so...
Yeah, but the thing is, as much as I love Billy, he's not good with money. Like, it's not like just Pete demanded the conjecture cycle that splits apart for no fucking reason. Like,
that's
Billy,
true.
Billy did
the
say
the conjecture
this...
cycle, yeah, but all the video games and all the other shit.
Sure, sure. I'm just saying
and
that like
Pete
Billy
White
is
the one that bought Robobo.
Oh, absolutely. For sure. And his reasoning was like, "Don't act like we didn't talk about this. You asked which Duke brother I liked more."
Oh, yeah. Amazing.
And that is so Pete. It's just so Pete. "Hey, what color do you like better?" "I like red. I bought a red Ferrari." What? Oh, you
yeah,
fucker.
For both of us.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I
can't drive. Yeah, I forgot about that.
Yeah, well.
I'll drive you around.
You ride in the passenger seat. Shotgun. Although Pete wouldn't want him in the car anyways, because Pete would think that he's going to get all the ladies. Pete sucks.
Yep.
Now let's talk about what Pete does right in this episode. I actually want to talk a little positive about Pete, just for a moment. I love that when Pete finally realizes that he needs help, he goes to the right people. Which is very not Pete. I would have always imagined Pete would have gone straight for Rusty.
That's true.
Like, when Pete's in any sort of trouble, his immediate call is always Rusty, which is the worst call you can make. But that's where he always goes. And this one time, he needs to help his friend, and he actually thinks clearly for all of, like, 2 seconds.
Yeah, I mean, he does kind of fail his way into success in that moment too, but yes, he does end up in the right place. Yeah,
I agree with you. He fails his way into it, but it there is that moment of clarity where he makes the right decision, which is it's nice, even to see a character like him do something right. Because I never expect that from him. Because, you know, fuck Pete. And a quick sidebar. Don't get rid of Pete if, for some reason, Hammer and Public ever listen to this show. I love hating him. Like, it's one of my favorite things to hate now. Which was not a thing before we started this podcast, which I've said before. But now that we're here, I love hating Pete. Love it so much. Don't get rid of Pete.
Oh, for sure. He's, like, a totally necessary character. Like, it's... You need somebody who shows... I mean, to a certain extent, you need somebody functionally that's worse than Rusty.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. That is very well put. It's just... Somehow, you managed to make Rusty look like a better human being. Don't know how you did it, but I guess you did.
Yep.
Yeah. The other thing, we really haven't talked at all about this episode, that I really enjoy is I love Monstroso. I think he's a great character that doesn't get enough credit with like the Venture Brothers fandom. Like I love that he's just such a good villain. And like he's not super menacing, he's not super threatening, but you can tell he has the upper hand in like every situation. It's not just because he's, you know, huge. He's a very smart and capable villain, and I think that's awesome.
Yeah, no, I think he's great in this episode. I mean, overall, but definitely in this episode. And I mean, he's got some great one-liners, and yeah, just like you said, he's got this air of confidence, which not surprising, about him that he can carry out throughout his whole life. I mean, yeah, I won't go into my favorite quote, but I love how much of him we have in this episode. And his interaction with just pretty much everybody, but his interactions with Billy and is incredible. I first really noticed that watching this episode of like, wow, he's great. And like any, you know, it's like no surprise that he is as successful as a villain as he is.
Yeah. And it's a very, like, it's kind of going back to that previous season where we always talked about pairings, and this one does a really good job of it, of you take your physically biggest and by far most confident character and pair him with the smallest and one of the least confident characters and just see how they react. And they react in such a great way. Of it's just a lot of Monstroso going, quit doubting yourself, you're a genius. And it's this weird sort of like, he's a villain, he has alternative motives, but he helps Billy a whole bunch.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, like we were talking about, is like, you know, everybody's, you know, failed their way to success, but Billy has, you know, succeeded his way to failure. And even in the, you know, cowboy v. cowboy moment that we have at the end of this episode, Billy's like, they gave me everything that I wanted. He gave me more than you guys ever did. And you guys are on my side, supposedly. And you couldn't get me, you know, a doctorate or any of this other stuff. And they just did it. Easy. And all I had to do was do, you know, one illegal procedure. Yeah. But I have certification now.
But it wasn't even illegal. It was a legal procedure. Like, because Monstroso did the paperwork, because that's what he does. So it wasn't even an illegal thing. All he had to do was bang three prostitutes, hang out with Monstroso on a boat for a weekend. And there he goes.
Play giant Lego. Oh, they never got to giant Legos. No, but giant chess. I mean...
He played bumper cars with a car that was like the size of a building, apparently. That's a scene I really wish we had, but, you know, minor complaint.
Yeah, just a montage. That's all I need. Just a montage of them two just playing around. It would be amazing.
Just a montage. Just with a good Billy scream, because he has the best scream. Just, like, see him driving his little bumper car, then boom! And
So good.
That would have been fantastic. But, like... I think that's kind of time. That would have been more of a standard Venture Brothers episode, and this one really felt like it wanted to go against the grain. And like I specifically, when we were getting ready to record today, I pulled out the book and I wanted to read through it because I wanted to see if that was intentional. Like, was that the goal, to make this a slightly different episode? And when you read Hammer in Public, most of what they're talking about is how they're setting up Operation Prom, and it's all about the investors. And I'm like, I get all that. Like, that's definitely there. But it feels like this episode was doing something completely, maybe not unintentional, but it feels like it might have been unintentional, of, like, just a really nice story about Billy. The setup is all there, of course, but it just kind of feels like, let's give Billy a really solid, nice episode. Because the other episode he got was not very nice. It was a lot of gloom and doom and find out what the fuck happened to his hand and his eye and all that craziness.
Ugh.
It's a great episode.
And how he got consistently screwed over by everybody involved and
his and fucking Pete.
Yep.
Yeah.
Pete struck again.
Yeah, like everybody on, supposedly, on his side, or at least on the good side, you know, using him for his abilities. And now you have Monstroso, who's just like, oh, I can use him to do a thing for me. And yeah, I'll give him some stuff that he's always wanted. It's just really interesting. And it's a really cool pairing that I love that they do through this whole episode.
Yeah, and it's this thing that's like, I'm sure I've mentioned the comic to both of you guys before, and I've talked about it in After the Hype before, but there's a comic I like called 70 Eternity, and the main villain of that show, who's the God of Whisperers, his main thing is that he will offer you the number one thing you want in your life, usually to help him out with something. And it's one of those, like, yeah, he's the bad guy, but my God, did he just help those people out. And it's like this kind of thing with Monstroso too. And like, I really love that sort of villain, because I feel like where we are today in pop culture, especially like Marvel is a big proponent of this. They want their villains to be relatable, and like, that's fine, but I don't feel like every villain has to be that. Like, the age-old theory is that every villain is the hero in their own story, and I feel like Venture Brothers is a very good outlook of that's not always the case. Like, the Monarch is not the hero in his own story. He's the villain in his own story, and he's fucking proud of it. And I feel like Monstroso is kind of the same thing. He doesn't see himself as a hero. He is a supervillain, and he is proud of that. If he does good, that was more of a happy accident that he doesn't really... Like, if it didn't turn out that that's what Billy wanted, Monstroso doesn't give a fuck. But if he was able to help him, cool, whatever. It meant I got what I wanted. And I think that's a really cool character.
For sure.
Right. Well,
it also shows that, like, it's not just... It's bringing up a new kind of villain where it's not just about the costume and everything else, right? Like, it's not just about, like, arching somebody. It's also about, like, getting what you want. Like, Monstroso is probably the only villain that we see in the guild that kind of has his cake and eats it too.
I would say with the exception of later on with White Whale a little bit.
Yeah, that's definitely true. But White Whale is definitely kind of like Monstroso 2.0.
Yeah, a long time I'd get them confused of, like, they're very similar characters. Like, White Whale,
totally.
He has a little bit more of, like, a cartoony nature to him, but otherwise they're very similar characters.
Yeah.
Yep.
But, you know, Monstroso doesn't have one of my all-time favorite characters, of the girl whose name I perpetually forget, even though she's one of my favorite characters, of White Whale's daughter, who is awesome.
Amazing.
She is.
And her bodyguard.
Oh, my God, her body. Oh, I can't wait to talk about season 7. Just the two of them together is so fucking great. But yeah, I think that's why I will always enjoy this episode, and why it stuck with me as much as it did, is just it's such a good pairing episode. And when they do those well, they do them better than fucking any TV show out there. And I think out of all the pairing episodes, my favorite is usually Brock and Phantom Limb, and I think season 2, is it?
Yes.
And this one might top that. Like, I'd have to watch them back to back, which would not be a problem at all, but I think that'd be I put this one in that caliber of, like, I love seeing these two together so much. I mean, it speaks volumes. Like, I haven't mentioned fucking Shore Leave, like, at all, and I love Shore Leave, but I'm so into these two that I kind of forget that he's always there going Sphinx, although that is fucking great.
Yeah, because I was gonna say Shore Leave's got a ton of moments in this and ton of, you know, one-liners and, you know, all of this other stuff. But when I was pulling quotes from this episode, it's all just Monstroso and Billy.
Mine is actually Shore Leave this week, but I only had one. Good. It was so good. But, like, that's kind of the thing, is, like, the Shore Leave moments are all just gags. Like, all the other stuff is just gags, and it's all wrapped around a really nice story, which is awesome. But that running gag of the entire episode of the Sphinx is so fucking great. Especially when they're just in, like, minor conversation and you can hear them just in the background when, like, General is talking to Pete. He's like, that's what we do here at Sphinx. Sphinx. And then he forgets the one time. Oh, Sphinx. Oh, it's good shit.
Sphinx! I didn't say it that time. Come on, it was implied.
Oh, good shit. I think that's really all I have. Do you just want to move into quotes?
Yeah.
Did I miss something?
No. I mean, like,
Pirate.
Oh, Pirate! Yeah. Pirate finally got back in a boat for the first time since forever.
Yep.
Oh, and he has
such a
great moment of the, all right, let's set sail. All right, well, what are you waiting for? We have to actually set sail.
Like, you guys have to get up there and help me attach that flag up there. Awesome.
Oh, it's so good. And I love seeing the pirate have a good moment. It's not as good as when he got hooked on Dart, but you know.
I actually like it better in a weird way, because it's just more like, I love frustrated pirate more than addicted pirate. Like, pirate that just doesn't have a place, just like, yeah, what am I doing? Oh, he doesn't need me up there. Oh, great. Like, he's just, like, angry. I feel like I resonate with that more.
And this one, this episode finally, for the first time, mentions Gargantua 2, which is...
Yes.
Oh, my God. Mm-hmm. I know my favorite episode of Venture Brothers is Buddy System, but all this in Gargantua 2 is one of the greatest episodes of any TV show ever, and I'm so excited to get there eventually. That's in between 5 and 6, right?
I think so.
Yes.
I think, yeah.
Yeah.
Because it's...
That's...
Yeah, it's... The, yeah.
Because yeah, that's because what moves them it, to New York.
Right. And then they call it back in 6 and 7. Yeah.
Right.
Yep.
Oh, that's a good one. All right, yeah, I think that does it. Let's move into quotes. I can go first. I'm pretty fond of Shore Leave, as I have said many, many times. And this one, I'm going to do this thing no fucking justice, but it's the line that just, I almost had to pause it because I was laughing so hard, because he just says it so fast and it's so good. But they're looking at the check that that Billy and White had. And they're trying to look for something like, well, the only thing on there that wasn't Billy and White's peanut butter fingerprints was this palm print in the back. And where does it go? There's a palm print right in the back that didn't match anything, so I made it into a turkey by putting a little beak on it. But it looks crappy. See? And I know I'm not doing that nearly enough justice, but if you've seen it, you know exactly what I'm talking about and why it is so goddamn funny.
Yep. I agree with that.
All right, that's it for me.
Wait, what'd you say, Graham?
I was like, go for it.
Oh, okay. Mine is just like a small thing, and just because, you know, why not shit all over Pete? Pete's like implying that he's going to come along, and Colonel Gather says, you're a civilian, and you're annoying.
And I forgot. Yeah, we didn't mention it throughout this whole episode. He just has to... He's babysat.
Oh, yeah,
it's Sergeant Hatred.
Who's singing a song, and the singing is so good.
And he's showing off his whatever weird pus thing he's got on his toe. And, it's
the not a boil thing or whatever. No, bunion. It's not a bunion. It's not That's a right. Bunion.
He's like, are you sure you don't want to touch it? It's really squishy in there. Oh, my God.
Is it weird that I still just want to hang out with Sergeant Hatred?
Yes.
Yes.
Very weird.
Yes.
For like half an hour, it'd be a very entertaining half an hour.
Sure.
Or like shiver inducing.
Yeah. I'll hang out with Monstroso.
Oh yeah.
On his boat. Oh my God.
I just won't sign anything.
Right.
Yeah, that's a good call. Definitely a good call. I'll have more fun with Sergeant Hatred, but, you know, go hang out with Monstroso.
Bullshit. Okay, so this leads me into my quote. When Billy Quizboy and Monstroso are talking about their day of, like, giant chess? Ooh, and you'll love this. Giant Legos. And Billy's like, I was hoping for something more adult.
like giant checkers. And then there's a callback even later when they're playing racquetball, and then Monstroso, you know, falls down the bottom of the court and, you know, grabs his chest, like, oh, I'm dying. No Legos for me today. It's so quick, and he says it under his breath, but oh my god. It took me a second viewing to catch it this time, and I just lost it. I just fucking lost it. I'm dying. No Legos for me today.
I'm going to use that all the time now. That's going to be my new, I have to return some videotapes.
I have missed that line every time I've seen it. Now I have to go back and watch it for that line. What the fuck? No giant Legos for me today.
And it's awesome because it's Monstroso. And he's obviously very concerned about not being able to play giant Legos.
I'm catching my breath over here. I liked that one. That one was too good. Ooh. That was as good as like season 7 with the, come on, have a bacon? Not just one bacon? Fucking love that. Okay, I think we're ready for a round of pluggity plug plug plugs. Do you agree? Cool.
Yes. Indeed.
So, listen to After the Hype. This week we have, as I mentioned last week, and I'm forgetting the name of it now, it is The Favorite, which I'm very, very excited to talk about. It was great. I have watched it in the last half an hour since we've been recording. And then be sure to check out Demon Days, the actual play D&D podcast. And be sure to check out Samwise, the advice podcast. Everything in the ATH network. And then I've been promising for a long time now, but I'm actually following through the promise now. Articles are coming back to ATH. Mr. Matt Dykes, you have heard the 2 weeks before that. All of his articles are being copy edited now, and they are populating the website. So be sure to check out the website to hear everything he has to say. And it is all very well written and very fascinating. And I'm not just saying that. It is actually, like, I enjoy reading them. They're a lot of fun. His one on the moon landing, which I think comes out in 3 weeks from this or 4 weeks from this, is awesome. So be sure to check that one out as well. And that's it for me. Nick, Graham, you plugging anything these days?
Nope.
Nah.
Nick, you're not gonna plug the game you're working on?
No. Not yet.
What about the game you're not working on?
Oh, Superman 64?
Yeah.
Oh man, that game. Wow. So they're making an HD remake, and
oh my god.
They've got
hope that's true.
Yeah. They've got like Mark Hamill, he's recording all of his lines into his voicemail machine, and we're just getting a line a day, and that's just kind of how the game's going to get recorded.
Mark Hamill? Who's he playing?
Oh, he's playing like an evergreen tree that you get quests from. You have to fly around, and then this tree talks to you, and it's going to sound terrible because he's recording it into his voice, you know, like his like tape recording voice message machine.
Did he actually
from, like,
get
the 80s,
like an old school like cassette, like the mini one?
Yeah.
And he's just sending those little tapes.
Yeah, and he's mailing them to us, so it's alarmingly slow. Pickups are gonna be a nightmare. That's all I'll say.
So be sure to check out that game.
Yep, Superman 64.
What's it on?
What's it on?
Yeah.
The Ouya, and you know those like 64s that were in, you know, the 64s that were in McDonald's's.
Yeah,
like a lot of those.
Yeah, it's gonna be like live streamed.
Not
those.
All of them, just a lot of them.
Just a lot of them. They couldn't get the rights to all of them. Some McDonald's owners were very particular.
I'm really
they really wanted to hold on to Mario 64 or whatever the fuck was on those things.
Can I rent this at Blockbuster, you think, or
Hollywood Definitely. Video? Hollywood Video is where it's at.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yep. Okay. With our little game cage in the back.
Oh, I forgot about the game cage. Whew. Okay. So
have we dated ourselves with this conversation?
I don't think we've dated ourselves enough yet.
Oh, man.
But we should stop before it gets too out of control and say. Goodbye.
Bye. Goodbye.
You've got mail.
I can't believe you caught my reference.